You're a beautiful audience. I mean, you, just looking at you is such a joy to my heart. I'm Pastor Glenn Cannon, and here we go for a five-minute intro. When I told my wife today, she says, honey, Pastor Schiavelli's here, encouraging me, you know, so it's only 5 minutes, you know. Thank you, honey. And I'm so thankful that Pastor Schiavelli is here. And I'm so thankful that our pastor tonight is in India. Wow. To think about that, I wish I could be a fly on the wall there just to witness that, the miracle, the growth there all these years. Wow. Amazing to think what's happening there. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to just share two or three verses from Song of Solomon. And I was really struck on Sunday night by Pastor Schiavelli's message. And at one point in there, he mentioned Peter after, you know, denying the Lord, meeting Jesus. And he brought out that wonderful question. And that's what I'd like to speak about tonight. Could you imagine meeting Jesus Christ and if he asked you that one question tonight, do you love me? And what would our response be? Wouldn't it be, oh, I do. Lord, I love you. And I'm growing in that love. But when we're face to face with Jesus Christ, it will be crystal clear that is the most important question, and that is the greatest love. And this is really why we're created, like Pastor Taggart said. Do you love me? And this is a little funny thing that my wife and I, we're going to be having our anniversary on Friday. Friday. 16 years together. Where are you, honey? Oh, there she is. She's hidden there. So usually when we go to sleep, the last thing she says to me is, do you love me? You know, and I'm always saying, you know, the last word, yes, honey, I love you. And one time, I don't know, I was tired or something, and I was out of my mind. And when she asked that, do you love me? I said, more than most. And she said, what? More than most? And I said, I don't know why I said that, but, and she, you know, so now that's our joke. Not only does she say now, do you love me, but then she'll say, more than most? Amazing. And I think that we could speak to the Lord that way sometimes, like familiar with him. How could we be familiar with him? And that's why we come to church. And I thank God for this book, The Song of Solomon. I've taught it a couple of times in Bible college, and with great joy, I thought, how am I going to teach this book to these students without blushing every page? And the rabbis used to keep this book from young men until they were 40 or something. They couldn't read it, but it's such a picture of our response to the Lord's question, do you love me? And listen to these verses. So I was thinking the very first verse, the Song of Songs. This is poetry. This is a love song. And all the great songs, some even that we sang tonight, this is the greatest one, the song of all songs. And then this verse, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I was saying this would make a great t-shirt, a very provocative t-shirt you could wear and people would look at it. And, but your love, listen to this, your love is better than wine. Wow. Why don't you drink? I don't drink because his love is better than wine. That's mentioned twice in this passage. This is the bride speaking about the bridegroom. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And the Puritans, they had a verse. It was Romans 8, verse 16, I believe it is, yes. It talks about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And they called that verse the kiss of the Spirit. I love that. When I first read it, I thought, wow. And to think that a verse could be a kiss to us. Do you think that the Holy Spirit witnessed to the deepest part of me, telling me that I am a child of God, is like a kiss? So this is why we say, God, kiss me tonight with the kisses of your mouth, because your love is better than wine. Your love is the best love, the greatest love. Verse 3, it says, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Wow. So the name, isn't it fun in worship just to sometimes the worship leader will say, just say his name. And just to hear it, even the clapping tonight when we were just clapping or singing a certain phrase, it's so beautiful as the body of Christ to be in this place, to be focused on him. And his name is like an ointment, a fragrance. You think about a perfume just filling this place, and it's poured forth. And therefore the virgins love you. Draw me away, and we will run after you. So Pastor Shabelli had that beautiful message on being drawn. And this is what we say, like when I first read this, I think, wow, this is a little bit like bold of this woman to be speaking this way. And maybe not, but maybe in that culture. But isn't this our heart? Isn't this what we'd say to the Lord? Isn't this the intimacy that we long for? And I remember speaking at my father's funeral. My father was an incredible evangelist, just a great servant, many years. And he said, I want my funeral to be in the Catholic Church. So we worked it out with the priest there in Woburn, Massachusetts, the church that Pastor Love speaks about sometimes. It was packed. My brother, Pastor Bill, gave the message, you must be born again. I mean, he preached it. And I did the eulogy. And God gave me this verse about my father. It was 1 Corinthians 8:3. It says, if any man love God, the same is known by him. Remember that? And the way I took it was, if we love God, and we do, it will be known. People will know it. People will see it. And isn't it just amazing to say to the devil, the atmosphere, this world, I love God. I love God enough where I say, draw me and I will run after you. And this is what this church is doing. We're running after him. But that verse is saying, if any man love God, when it says, it's not that other people will know it, but it's like God knows that. That's what it means, really. In the King James, it says, this one is known of him. And I think that's one of our greatest desires, probably the deepest need that we have, is to be known and to be cherished and to be loved. And the Bible tells us that God knows us. He knows that we love him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he loves us. He knows everything. He loves us. And there's a day when we're going to be face to face. Now it's like this love. It's sort of like we love as best we can in these bodies. But there'll be a day when we'll be able to love him fully, like he fully loves us, and know him fully as he fully knows us. And that's what we're longing for. And in closing, last night in our class, usually the last class of the semester, we have a party and we pass the microphone around, and it was so sweet to hear testimonies from the students. And Pastor Ralph Rowe talked about, the class was on grace, so he basically was saying that he believed that the greatest revelation of grace is our adoption, that we are children of God. And I thought, isn't that amazing to know that? And then there was this one gentleman, his name is Gerald. And Gerald came to our open house. He didn't even sign up for Bible college. He just came by, sat in the class, loved it, signed up. And then he gave a testimony last night. He said, I came, and there was a situation in my life. I had a son who had committed a crime, and he was in prison. He said, I was so upset with my son, I would not speak with him. He came to Bible college and heard about the prodigal son. He said, that was it. That's what I needed to hear. And God was calling me to be a father to my son. So his son got out of prison. He said, I hadn't spoke to him, but I went up to him and I hugged him. And I said, I'm proud of you. Wow, that's our God. That's our God. That's his love. He knows everything about us, but he loves us, and he's for us. Amazing, amazing. Well, Father, thank you for your great love. You know us, Lord. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Draw me, God, and we will run after you. Thank you. We thank you for this church. Thank you for all the lovers of God here. Thank you, Lord, for miracles that you're doing in our heart. Kiss us with your word tonight. Speak words into our spirit and change us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
Okay, would you stand, please, and open your Bibles to Galatians, and we're going to read verse 1 of chapter 5 and verse 13 of chapter 5 for our message tonight. All right. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Let's pray. So Lord, we come together tonight as a community of believers. You have filled us with your spirit, Lord. You have touched us, Lord. We have sung to you. We have heard great thoughts already. We think of our pastor in India, Nepal, the group with him, and just really the move of the Spirit in those places. And tonight here in the middle of the week here in Baltimore, Lord, we ask you, Lord, just to really bless Pastor Shabelli now as he speaks to us, Lord. Thank you. Open our minds, open our hearts, Lord, to receive these truths, Lord. Quicken us, Lord, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice. We rejoice that we have these pages, Lord, these words that we can read and hear. Right now, Lord, help us, Lord, to love your word and to hear from you. In your name, amen. Thank
you. You may be seated. Woody. Where's Woody? Oh, you taught me today some sign language, right? You said this was bondage, and this was freedom, bondage, and I can't do it with the microphone, bondage and freedom. He taught me that today. He's a great man. Don't you love Woody? Yeah, he really is. Bondage and freedom, and I've been thinking about that for a couple of days. If you've ever been in prison, I hope not. But I remember one time when I was evangelizing in the country of Qatar, and they jailed me. And sad to say, they jailed me when I was eating a chicken sandwich. And they left the sandwich there. And I was really unhappy about that. And I said to the guy, if you're a real jail with integrity, you'll get my sandwich back now. And actually, the guy went and got it. I said, you forgot the fries. He said, you're going too far now. And I remember when he let me out that day, it was just so great to be out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you've never been in jail, Pastor Love. No. Did somebody bail you out once? Was Pastor Glenn's father? Sorry about, you know, like unveiling that. That's just how it is, though. Really. And what an amazing thing. And I tried to get to that border as quickly as possible, the country of Qatar, and get out of there, just in case they change their mind. You never know when somebody's going to change their mind about those kind of things. But I remember Pastor Glenn. Do you remember how many years ago did we make that trip to India with Pastor Robinson? How many was it, like 83? 83. That's like 34 years ago. God. Wow. And that was great. I remember we stayed in a, remember Johnny's hut? It was me, Ray Eamon. They called him Bombay Ray. And they put us in a hut. And I woke up one night, by the way, the bathroom was the shower. And I was lying next to Ray. I was lying next to Ray Eamon, you know, on the ground. We had like a sheet or something. And I looked over and he had a beard. And there was a rat in his beard. And I didn't wake him up. I just said, you know what, that rat's got to eat too. No, do you remember, that was a crazy trip, wasn't it? Wow. Pastor Robinson was preaching on a train. He was preaching about a thief on the cross because somebody stole something from him, wasn't it? Or he lost something. He started preaching on the train about the thief on the cross. And that was an unusual trip. When I got from India to Greece, I thought I went to heaven. I thought, wow, this is amazing. Now, if you're from India and you're watching this, don't be offended. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how people get offended. I was talking to somebody. I don't know if they're here. If they are, they'll probably not like me again tonight, but I said, gee, I miss you. And they said, yeah, you notice I haven't been around. So yeah, come tonight, I'm preaching. And they said to me, right in the face, for sure I'm not coming. if you're preaching, for sure I'm not coming. And I thought, I'm not going to be in bondage to that. I am not going to live in that today, you know. It's amazing how when you're going to preach on something like liberty versus bondage, how there's all kinds of things that will try to bring you into bondage, you know? I mean, really, just like all kinds of situations will happen during the course of the day. And I think it's just to make the message real, isn't it? Just to make the message real, practical and personal. And Paul is saying to the Galatians here, and I think it's amazing, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set you free. He uses this word eleuthera twice in a row. Stand fast in the liberty where Christ has set you free. Liberty sets you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And really, this idea of bondage means that the bondage causes me to have no ability to move. I cannot experience God. When I'm in bondage, I do not experience who I am in Christ. I do not experience God. I'm saved positionally. I have Christ, but I'm not experiencing the joy and the peace and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as Pastor Glenn was talking about God's love, if you look at Galatians chapter 5, it mentions liberty and the love of God four times. Faith works by love, it says. Then it says, by love serve one another. All the law is fulfilled by this one word in verse 14, love. And then the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And it's amazing how love is so connected to liberty. That because I know God loves me, and like he said, knowing who I am and what I will do in my life, and he loves me, that gives me tremendous liberty. And by the way, some people will use messages on liberty to sin and say, I'm just going to live this, I'll live the way I want, because I have liberty. It doesn't say we have liberty to the flesh. It says we have liberty to serve. Are you with me? Huh? Not this, but this. Did I do it right? Huh? Bondage? 10. How'd you do that? Three, oh, like that. Okay, like that? Is that right? Bondage or liberty?
I don't know. That's why I don't do sign. That's too well at all. My granddaughter says, your fingers are a mess. You shouldn't do anything with your hands. I said, how about hold the mic? She goes, that's good. Hold the mic. You can hold the mic. But it's amazing how we can find ourselves, and it can subtly creep in, and it's the enemy. Because the enemy is in bondage forever. Satan is in bondage forever. He will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So what he would like to do is get Christians and people in general to just live in absolute bondage. One of the great bondages is the fear of death. Hello? Hebrews 2:15. Who all their lifetime through fear of death kept them in bondage. And Paul is saying to the Galatians, he says it in 2:4, Galatians 2:4 and 4:9. Don't fall into bondage again. In other words, when you were lost and you were controlled, hey, hello? When you were controlled by evil and you were unsaved, you were in bondage. He said, don't go back to that stuff again, experientially. And it's amazing how that can happen. And the person that got delivered goes back to something that they were delivered from. They're in bondage again. They go into bondage. They're incapable of movement. They have no dependency, no freedom, no joy, no peace. It's an incredible bondage that takes place. And God wants us to have liberty. Can you say that word? Liberty. Liberty. Freedom. I don't think Pastor TJ knew that I was going to preach on, where are you? He's here somewhere. Right? You started talking about we're free, we're free, we're free, right? You were singing about freedom. And I was thinking when he was saying those words, whatnot, was he in my room today or something? You know? But really, to be people that are absolutely free. If we walk around living in bondage, unsaved people look at us and said, why would I want to get saved and be like you? And you know, I'm going to get saved and be just like you. You look so miserable anyway. Like you're talking to me about Jesus Christ and look at you. And in bondage, it's incredible. God says, I want you to have liberty. I want you to have the liberty of grace and the liberty of love and the liberty of God's mercy. And to live in liberty and absolute freedom. And realize that the enemy and the world and the flesh are trying to put us in incredible bondage. Did you ever? I'm sure you have read Romans chapter 7. When Paul comes to a conclusion, oh, wretched, oh, what? Oh, wretched, taliporos is the word. I'm miserable. He's an apostle and he's miserable. Hello? Could it happen to any of us? Huh? I bet you no one here has ever been miserable. Huh? You got your tax bill? Right? A doctor's report? Something that somebody said? Definitely not coming if you're preaching. You could become miserable. He says, oh, wretched, miserable man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Who's going to do it? By the way, in Romans chapter 7, he uses the personal pronoun I 27 times. He's in bondage to I. He's in bondage to himself. Oh, wretched man that I am. Just read Romans 7 from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. You'll see 27 times that could be off by one or two here and there. He uses the word I or me. And he's focusing on himself and is bringing him into bondage. Then he goes into Romans chapter 8 and he said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I got freed. I got free when I realized how God's love and God's grace and God's purpose and God's life will set me free from I, from me. Isn't that the most, you know, some people talk about idolatry in certain parts of the world like India and Africa. I said, you know what, how big idolatry is in America? They said, what are you talking about? There's not a lot of idolatry in America. I said, look in the mirror. I said, the mirror, the idol of self. Be in bondage to self, in bondage to who I think I am or who I think I should be. It's incredible. And it's a bondage. And we get caught up, you know. Somebody said to me, what are you going to do if you're not, if you weren't pastoring? Like, what do you mean? Is pastoring my life? I thought my life was Christ. It didn't say for me to live as the pastor. Hello. Some people derive their identity from their title. I'm not trying to say anything about pastors. Please don't take it incorrectly, okay? Is that my identity? I'm the coach. I'm the pastor. I'm the teacher in the Christian school. I'm a teacher. I'm a businessman. I'm a computer specialist. I'm this or I'm that. Is that who you are? Who I am is not what I do. Hello? Who I am is not... I've heard somebody say this to somebody one time. Oh, you're just a mother? What are you, an idiot? A mother is the highest calling on the planet Earth. All right? A mother is amazing. She has to raise children. Hello? Right, Tootie? Yeah, I'm thinking of Pastor Dwayne now. It's amazing what a calling you have for Mrs. Vieter, right? I mean, come on. How many kids did you raise? Huh? A lot of them, right? Nine. How would you like to raise 9 Vieters? No, we love them, but they're interesting. That's interesting. This woman's a saint. This woman is like close to God as you can get. She's incredible. And she prays for me all the time. She tells me every time I go away, I'm praying for you. She said it strong, too. Not like, I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for you. Oh, thank you. Because I think your prayers are penetrating. But in bondage. You know, in bondage. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not, I am what I do. That's bondage. Are you with me? Huh? I'm Pastor Shibeli's secretary. That's bondage. You are Ula, or you are Perio, by the grace of God, right? Are you with me? I don't want to live in bondage. It's amazing how these bondages can come in. And God wants us to be absolutely free. The first message that Jesus preached, it was in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. What an amazing message. It was all about freedom. Quoting Isaiah 61, verse 1, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." You know what the poor get? The riches of grace. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted people get abundant mercy. He sent me to set captives free. The captives get a word of truth. To give sight to the blind. People that are blind spiritually get the eyes of God's faith, and to set up them that are bruised. Those who are down, he gives them the finished work. The message was an amazing message of liberty, and he quoted from Leviticus 25 to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of God's profuse favor. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, and they tried to kill him. Hello? What a message, and they want to throw him off a cliff. Because he said this is fulfilled in your ear. In bondage. These men are on the road to Emmaus, strangers on the road. The stranger on the road comes. They're in bondage to a Jewish Messiah. And what they think this one was. We thought it would have been he who would redeem us from the Roman Empire. They were in bondage to what they thought Jesus should have done. Or what Messiah is supposed to do. And they had no idea they were in bondage to something religious. Something that could even be scriptural. Could find themselves in absolute bondage to it. It's incredible. I remember preaching in some certain denominations. There can be denominational bondage. Hello. Huh? Are you with me? I remember I was in a church and they said, remember, you're given 15 minutes. And they want to make sure that the pulpit is close enough for them to pull the back of your jacket. Just so they can remind you your time is up. Well, what I did was when I mounted the pulpit, I moved it forward. And I was out of their grasp. Then I unscrewed the microphone because the microphone was screwed in. I'm thinking to myself, these people are screwy. I mean, I can't even move. I got to stand there like this and preach. And then when they think I'm done, they're going to do this. That was like tremendous bondage. So I got set free. And then I started to walk the aisles. with the microphone. They really lost it. We thought, we didn't know you were a Pentecostal. I don't know what you're talking about. I said, I was preaching grace and the finished work and eternal security and doctrine. They were in bondage. You got to do it this way, right? You got to do it this way. Can't believe some of the illustrations we use in heaven. We put chickens on the pulpit and use them. An illustration by holding them by the neck, you know? And here's what's your will like? Like this chicken's neck, you know? I mean, really, some people would say, you know what somebody told me? They left the church in Ghana because I had a Coca-Cola on top of the pulpit. I said, listen, I'm not drinking the water. I drink the water, I'm in the bathroom. I live in the bathroom after drinking the water. You don't know how many times I would drink something and go start running. I have to go run to the bush and come back sweating. And they say, are you okay? I said, until the next glass of water. So I was drinking Coke because at least I know, you know, it hasn't been opened, I think, but I'm not sure. And he said, I'm leaving the church because you put a Coke bottle on the pulpit. I said, have a great week, year, month, whatever, I don't know. What do you want from me? Well, I'll stay if you don't do it again. Oh, I'm going to do it again, so leave. Love you. Love you. Anyhow. Great song, girls. That was a great song that she did for the offering. That's amazing. Wow. They're incredible. I was listening to them when they were practicing today. I thought, wow, God's Spirit's really on them and in them. But liberty. I want to live in the liberty of God and the liberty to walk with God and to serve God. Liberty. And how easy it is to fall into bondage. The devil and demons they love to get us in bondage. I mean, they wouldn't even, like, they had a hard time with the Apostle Paul because of some of the things he did. It's incredible. I remember one time we used to minister. We had Bible studies with heroin addicts. And sometimes it would be 15 or 20 of them there. And then during the break, they would go out on the porch and smoke. Well, one night, some of the church leaders drove by, and they saw them smoking. And they called me into the office the next day, and they said, Stephen, I wasn't ordained yet. What kind of a Bible study are you running that people are out there smoking cigarettes and cigars on the break? I said, well, let me tell you, 2 weeks before, they were shooting heroin in the bathroom. I said, they're really making progress. Before you know it, they might become just like you, but I hope they're not legalistic. I mean, it was like, listen, these guys are struggling in their life, and you want to put something more on them. Hello? And I'm not for smoking. It can kill you. I understand that. But would you give him a break? He went from heroin to smoking a cigarette. I mean, he got delivered from heroin. And now what do you want to do? You can't come to church because you smoke. Really? Thank you. That's really helping them a lot. Hello. Are you with me? Liberty. Liberty with God. What gives us liberty? It's incredible. John 8, we heard it, 31 through 36. You shall know the truth, and what? The truth will set you. Set you what?
Free.
Why should I come to church? So you can be free. You want to be free once a week, or you want to be free three times a week? Huh? Somebody told me they saw my brother preaching. By the way, there's another Pastor Shabelli. He's preaching in Massachusetts. They saw him preach, and I was talking to somebody who saw him. They said, oh, my God. You know what he was saying to the church on Sunday morning when he was preaching? Well, you're just going to be here Sunday morning, and you don't even care about missions and souls that are lost? Are you okay? They said, I thought I was listening to you. I said, maybe you were. Maybe I was in two places at the same time. No, that's my brother. He's pastoring a church in Massachusetts. It's amazing. I'm going to listen to it. I guess you can listen to it on, what do they call that stuff? Wi-Fi, YouTube, something like that. Something. You can see I am not addicted to technology. I am not in bondage to technology. I'm not doing this. You ever watch people? I was watching somebody today. They for like 35 minutes. This is what they were doing. I said, come up for air. Who, me? No, your uncle. I mean, addictions. In bondage. In bondage. I'm free because of the word. Amen? we read the Bible, we become free. We hear preaching, we become free. I want to hear the word of God that cuts my flesh. It's good for me. Hello? No. No. Why did he say that tonight? Said it because I planned to say it. What is it? You want your flesh to keep existing? The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? Dividing and manifesting. Right? I need it. I need to be free from this miserable person that I am outside of Christ. All right? Hello? Okay, we've only had 4 or 5 people leave tonight so far, so I'm coming. I'm behind schedule. Listen. Listen. Freedom because of the word. We love the Bible. We're free. We read the Bible. We go to Bible school to be what? Free. What's the next source of our freedom? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Where the Holy Spirit's life is. When I'm living in sin, I have no liberty. But when I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I have liberty from the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. I am being filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, bear the fruit of the Spirit. We've got liberty. The Holy Spirit gives liberty, doesn't place people in bondage. Are you with me? Hello. Liberty. What else gives us liberty? The grace of God. Stand fast. What? In the grace of God, in the liberty where Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again. You know what it's like to be entangled? You know that silly string they put on people? Well, some people, the silly string is bars. It's all over them. They can't get out. Entangled. But the finished work and the grace message and the love of God set me free. I'm free. Can you imagine being in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and then you come out with the arm of God and praising the Lord? You come out, you go right through the Red Sea. You see what God does. God set them free. They're having an awesome time. Christians, we as believers, we've been freed. Amen? We are free from our old sin nature. Free from the past. Oh my God. What are you going to do? Live in that for the rest of your life? You know what happened to me when I was 6 years old? You know what? Come on. I know a lot about psychology and psychiatric evaluations and that kind of thing. I ran a counseling center for years, and I have more degrees than I know what to do with, and they all put me in bondage. Oh, what happened to me when I was 6 or 7 years old? It's amazing. That's why I am doing what I'm doing today. Oh, really? Are you going to live in that? Imagine if Paul lived in his past. He was a murderer of Christians. Huh? He said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not in bondage to my past. Hello? I was walking one time. I was saved. I was in a country preaching. A person goes, Shibeli. I look around and said, I know who you are. And I thought, I said, this is a demon voice. This is a voice of a demon. Because I never knew where the person came from again. In bondage to your past. How about bondage to the future? What am I going to do with my life? Huh? Worry about what's going to happen 5 years from now. When is Jesus coming? What's going to take place in America? What's going on in our country? And we think about the future. Will I ever get married? Will I ever have kids? All kinds of things. Bondage to the future. I'm free. I've got eternity. You can have the future. I'll take forever. That's awesome, isn't it? How about in bondage to people's expectations of me? Huh? Well, this is what you should be doing with your life. Really? Thank you, God. Then when did you become God and ascend the throne? I'm not going to be in bondage to somebody's expectation of me. How about in bondage to health? All the health fanatics are dead. All the people that eat green things and peanuts and all these, no, I'm not against it. I'm only having fun, okay? Okay, I'm eating candy bars. My mother was 93. She was still eating Snickers. That's not bad, huh? No, I'm not against green things. I never ate one until I was about 35. When I was growing up, I put green things in the hole in the table and pushed them in, and that's why the kitchen smelled. I got rid of the green things. If it wasn't the bathroom flushing them, they went in the hole in the table. I hated green things, spinach, beans, peas were my worst enemy. I hated peas. I had pockets full of peas. I would leave the table. My mother said, "What's in your pockets?" I said, "Gum." It was peas. In bondage. You know, people are in bondage to diets. And in bondage to diet, they'll lose, you know, 30, 40 pounds and gain. They're in bondage. How about in bondage to your age? Oh, you're too old to do that. Huh? You know how old you are? I said, no, and I don't really care. Somebody asked me about that recently. We expect you to stop this traveling at some point. I said, your expectation is not from God. Because I'm not stopping until I'm dead. You figure that one out, okay? And I don't care when it happens. I'm just saying. You know what? I'm not in bondage to my age. I'm not in bondage to how I look. Somebody told me the other day, you know, your pants are wrinkled. What do I care about my wrinkled pants? I said, I'm not about to impress anybody. I'm married. Who am I going to impress? What's the deal? You know? I'm not in bondage to how I look. I don't even know what goes together sometimes. If it wasn't for my wife, she said, that tie does not go with that shirt. I said, really? She said, didn't you ever learn anything? I said, no, it didn't matter. In bondage to how we look. And you want to look nice, but you don't want to drive yourself nuts over it. Hello? In bondage. How about in bondage to finances? Ooh, huh? The reason I work 3 jobs, 100 hours a week, is because I've got a lot of... Oh, really? Really? You know what they call in prison when they clap your feet together? They call it the duck walk. I say, financially, you're doing a duck walk. This is you. This is just doing a duck walk. You know, in bondage, you can't even move your ankles. You're just in bondage. Huh? So your finances. It's incredible. I want to be free. Amen? I want liberty from God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Word of God is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if the Son make you free, you are free indeed. The Spirit gives me liberty. The finished work gives me liberty. Grace gives me liberty. God loving me gives me liberty. And not liberty to sin, but liberty to walk with God. Are you with me? Liberty to walk with God. I said to Dr. Stevens one time, I said, I could never even think or even imagine in my mind doing what you do. He looked at me and said, I could never do what you do. He set me free. He set me free. Like, I remember one time I was living like a little bit insecure and in bondage to a certain idea I had of what a pastor should do. And I went to him, I said, Pastor Stevens, why is it that a lot of pastors can settle in and be in one place for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years? I said, I can't do that. When I go to a place, I'm looking to get out. Even when I get there, I'm thinking about, like, what's going to happen 3 years from now? And I said, and I was condemning myself and beating myself up. He took me aside and says, come here, that's not your gift. Your gift is pastoral evangelical. I was free. I was like free. Wow. Like I didn't see it. Freedom. Amen. I want to live in freedom and liberty, capable of movement, dependent upon God and not upon anything else. Not being a slave to something. In closing, Paul said this twice. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, the desmios of God. Ephesians 3, 1 and 4. The only truly free person is the prisoner of the Lord. Father, thank you tonight for liberty and freedom. It's amazing. It's amazing. Solomon started off in liberty, and then through Ecclesiastes, he went into bondage. Bondage to his flesh, bondage to money, riches, women, so many things, bondage. And then he got set free again in Song of Solomon. By God's love set him free. Set me as a seal upon your heart and upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. He was free again. Free. John is on the island of Patmos, and he's free. At 98 years old, he's in an island prison, but he's free. He's free. God wants to wants us to be free. Free from yourself. Free from I. Free from me. Free from others' view of me. Free. Liberty. Amen? It's our liberty tonight. So, Father, thank you. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're the slave of sin. You're watching on the internet. You're not born again. You're the slave of yourself and the slave of sin, servant of sin and serving yourself. And God wants you to be free. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, or praying on the internet, Jesus, save me. Save me, Jesus. Please save me. I know you will. Set me free from me. Set me free from sin, failure, weakness. Set me free from the old sin nature. Set me free from the devil and demons. I want to be free. I want to be free. That's your prayer with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, or on the internet. Just say yes to God. Yes, Jesus. I receive you, Jesus. Let's quietly stand. Let's stand and just lift your hands to God. Any area in my life is between you and God. I want to be free. I want to be free of this habit. I want to be free of this situation, how I see myself. I want to be free of a poor self-image. I want to be free from fear. I want to be free from an expectation that's not from God. I want to be free from people's opinions. I want to be free, free to enjoy God, capable of movement, free, free, freedom. We want to be free tonight, God. You see your people. Our hands are raised. Praise you, God. If we could come and do a closing song. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Free. We are free tonight. Free. Say it. I'm free. I have liberty in Christ. And I'm going to stand fast in it. I'm going to stand fast in that liberty. Not get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Thank you, God. Thank you. For the Spirit sets us free. The Word sets us free. Grace sets us free. Love sets us free. The finished work sets us free. The gospel sets us free. Body life sets us free. God's eternal purpose is for us to be free. And we thank you. Free to love Him. Free to serve. Free to be spiritual. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight. Thank you. The rap session that will follow on liberty versus bondage. We thank you tonight. Once again, bless Pastor Schaller, Pastor Jomi, Pastor Gary, Pastor Mati, Pastor Kende, as they travel through India. God, just touch them, bless them with amazing freedom in you. We thank you for their lives. Bless our night with this closing song in Jesus' name. Amen.